Thanks, mate. It's good to be together, hey? Yeah. It's really good. It's good to come and to worship and to share and to pray and just to be in each other's presence. I don't think there's any better place to be, and that's called church. That's what church is. Church is not the, as we all know, I'm not speaking anything that you're going, wow, that's revelational. The church is not the building. The church is not a concept. It's actually people doing life together, being honest with each other, sharing with each other, gathering with each other. And so it's just been a beautiful morning to be together this morning. And you know, one of the beautiful things about the role I have within the community is we get to hear a lot of stuff and hear a lot of good things that happen. And you know, we've just come through. We're still moving out of it. And but this pandemic sort of space over the last 4 months with the borders opening up and people getting COVID and that meaning isolating. And one of the beautiful things a part of that has been just hearing the stories of what people in this congregation and other congregations are doing in terms of looking out for each other. You know, we get to hear stories of someone brought me a meal, and so now I'm going to do a meal for that person over there. Someone texts someone over there. Someone picked up someone else and drove them over here because their family was isolated and they needed to get a lift over there. Just this simple stuff. This is the nuts and bolts grittiness of what it is to do life and do community together. And one of the privileges that I've had at Encounter, both at Northreach and at Central, is hearing the stories of this happening and going, wow, that is a great community. That is a great place to be a part of. That's where church actually happens. That's what it is about. And so today we've been a blessing of being a part of that, just sharing with each other about life, what we've just come through. Rose sharing, so singing some songs together of praise and worship, praying for people. That is the context of what church is about. And so we've been doing this little series the last couple of weeks about life in the kingdom, life through the Spirit, you might want to say. How does the Spirit in people actually translate onto the ground? And so if you didn't hear the message 2 weeks ago at Central from Kim, I want to encourage you to go onto the website. I know many of you were there and heard it, but to listen to the coming of the Holy Spirit message. It's a fantastic message that set that up. And then last week, Troy preached on hearing the Spirit of God. And today I want to share about what we've actually just been doing. I could actually put the mic down and say, well, what just happened is what we're talking about. But we're talking about life through the Spirit. How do we treat others because of the Spirit in us? How do we look out for us? What do we do? What does that look like? Because sometimes it looks like it did today. And sometimes it looks messy and sometimes it looks hurtful. And then how does the Spirit in us actually work through that and speak into that space as well? Because life has ups and life has down, but the Spirit of God who is in us should be directing us in the way that we respond to one another in the space of that. So if you've got your Bible, I'd love you to turn with me to Galatians. We're not collating today. We're just speaking. Galatians chapter 5, verses 13. We're going to read a chunk of scripture together. And, you know, today, if you need an illustration of what we're talking about, I'm talking about what we've been doing this morning and what we're going to be doing later is a good illustration of that. But Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, it might be titled Life by the Spirit in your Bible, but it says this: "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love, for the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out or you'll be destroyed by each other. So I say, live by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit, on the other hand, is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other." It goes on in chapter 6, "Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks that they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions, then they can take pride in themselves alone, without comparing themselves to someone else, for each one should carry their own load. Nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with the instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows the pleasure to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. What a wonderful scripture. That's Paul's encouragement to the church at Galatia. So Paul is writing to communities of believers just like us today. He's writing to people like us and he's saying, you're doing life together. This is how you do life by the Spirit. This is what life in the Spirit looks like, kingdom living looks like, because of what God has done in you. Because when God comes into your life, when the Holy Spirit comes into your life, it should transform us from the inside out. Tony was talking about that. It should transform us from the inside out, which means that as we are changed by the Spirit in here, the way that I respond to someone out here cannot stay the same. It has to actually change because of the way that I have been changing. And then the way that I respond to believers in my community will then spill out like a waterfall. If you've ever seen those tricks where they pour the drink in the top glass and it goes out of the top glass and trickles down to the next glasses, to the next glasses, that as we learn to live in this space together as people who are transformed by the Spirit, that will then trickle out to the people we live next door to the people we go to work with, the people we play sport with. It just becomes a way of doing life because of the Spirit in us. Not because we're any better at doing life than anyone else, but because of the Spirit which lives inside of us and transforms us from the inside out. John 13, verse 34 to 35 says about this new command. It says this, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Disciples just means follower of Christ. You're a follower of Christ. That means what a disciple is. And it's saying here, what John's saying is, as you love one another, as we do life together, sharing, caring, confronting in truth and honesty, as we do that, it shows something about God to the other people in our world. That's amazing, hey? So you can get up here and preach all you like me and yabba 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 dabba. We can do it on the greatest song stuff, which we had beautiful worship earlier. We can do all this type of stuff. But the thing that actually shows who God is to other people is actually by the way that we live amongst each other and really put it on the ground. That's exciting, isn't it? Because everyone gets to be a part of that. Everyone is a part of that. Everyone lives in that space. And so that's what John is saying. John, how much time have I got today? Fair bit. John 4:7, because I've got some chunks of scripture that I want to read. 1 John chapter 4 says it like this. 1 John is located towards the back of the Bible, away from the Gospel of John. These are the letters of John at the back of the Bible, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. But this is verse 7 out of chapter 4 of the first. It says this, dear friends, because he's talking about God's love. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God loved us, so we also ought to love one another. We've just been talking about that. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us this of the Spirit, and we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love that God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have complete confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. That's good, isn't it? We are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command, anyone who loves God but also must also love his brother and sister. So we are simply passing on what Christ has done for us. That's really, really important today. This living by the Spirit and living kingdoms is understanding what God has done for us. So as we live in a way and we treat others badly, or we find ourselves having attitudes towards other people, which is normal, where we feel like, we need to come back to, how does God treat me? How has God seen me in my humanness? God laid down his son, gave his son Jesus to die for me. That's where this love comes from. And this living by the Spirit is understanding that God loves me so much. I receive that love. And as I receive that love, his Spirit then indwells within me. And I can't help then but have to be transformed from the inside out as I seek his face. And then that transforms the way that I live towards other people. I love being in church because I see that transformation weekly. I see people treating each other differently. I see people saying, hey, you offended me. I go and speak to that person and we work through that. Why? Because Jesus is transforming me from the inside out. I see someone in need, so I go and help them. Why? Because I want tick off marks. No, because that's Christ has helped me and therefore I am compelled to be transformed by him to help other people. It's the we're simply conduits for what Christ has done for us. That's what living in the Spirit is about. As a community, we're committed to each other because of Christ. And so we live in that space. But you know, it says back in Galatians chapter 5 that there is a battle that is on between us and the way we live out towards others. It's called the battle between the flesh and the Spirit, because the flesh is opposing to the Spirit and the Spirit is opposing to the flesh. And so therefore, if you're hearing what I'm saying today and going, oh, it's so hard. Yeah, it is hard, because there's a battle. There's a battle between my flesh, because when I'm offended, I want to get revenge. I want to make sure that they are punished. When I see someone else getting elevated, there's a bit inside of me that says, why are they getting up there? Why aren't I? I get a bit jealous. That's the flesh. And the Spirit saying over here, saying, I am God, I will take care of it. And I'm over here going in the middle going, am I going to trust that God is going to take care of it, or am I going to help him and take care of it? And that's the battle. It's battle flesh, spirit, spirit, flesh. And that's the space that we live in. That's living in the world. And so we come to community. And that's why sometimes in community we don't get it right. And sometimes we do. It's because we're battling between the flesh and the Spirit. And then we're trying to work out the mess that is caused by that. And so we are involved in the act of the flesh and the Spirit. But the role for us who believe in Jesus is to crucify the flesh. That's where life came. When Jesus died on the cross, when the flesh was crucified, we were given life that came from that. So what does crucify the flesh mean? It means to make an active choice to go, yeah, I feel like this, but I'm going to choose this. I'm going to lay down what I feel like doing. I'm going to lay down because God has called me to a greater way. And the more that we choose God's way, the more that we put that in place, the easier that becomes. We either feed the flesh or we feed the Spirit. There is a fighter in our spirit, meaning that we have the ability to feed either the side of the battle. You know, who we feed is who we connect to. Which side of that battle we feed is which side we connect to. So we're all unfortunately seeing the news, and unfortunately for some of us, for me in turn, you think the battle with Ukraine and Russia is still very much happening, but we can become a little bit passe to it because it's been on the news now for a few days, and so we think, oh well, it's still going, okay. But in that battle, different nations have backed different nations. So most of the Western world has said it's unfair that Russia is attacking Ukraine, and so we are going to arm Ukraine to be able to stand up for the fight. And so we send guns and trucks and all types of things, and that's neither right nor wrong. I'm just saying what's happening to give you a picture of what happens with the battle between our flesh and our spirit. When you back your flesh, you give authority to the flesh. When you back your spirit, the spirit, you're giving authority to the spirit. And so whatever we give authority to, we become connected to. And the more that we back the flesh, the harder it is to not live out of the flesh. But the more we back the spirit and we allow the spirit to keep transforming us, the more that we start to live out of the spirit and our lives start to look what Jesus Christ is like. And so each time we come to decision-making and things in our life which happen all the time in every single day, because that's life, we got a choice. Am I going to feed? Am I going to connect to the authority of the Spirit in my life? Or am I going to feed and connect to the spirit of my flesh in my life? That's what the Scripture is talking about here. And the more that we feed the Spirit and allow the Spirit to transform us from the inside out, the more we back the Spirit, guess what? We're transformed into the likeness of God. And others will see that Christ lives in us as a community and individually. As a believer, this is the good news about it. when Jesus died on the cross, you are not locked to the behavior of the flesh. See, Christ died and he broke the power of sin and death over your life. That means that you have a choice. That's good news, isn't it? You're not locked to making decisions of the flesh. You actually have the power and the authority through the Holy Spirit in your life to choose not to go that way, but to go another way. Now, let me just backtrack a bit. The more you've chosen to back the flesh, sometimes there's some things about that that actually are quite hard to break. But let me tell you, there's victory in Christ in that. There's victory in his death. There's victory in his resurrection. And therefore, the Spirit resides in those who call on the name of Jesus. And now you have the ability to say, I want to choose what God's saying. But you also have the power of the Holy Spirit to help you with that. And so you're not defeated in sin. You're not in a place where, well, I can't change the way I act. That's the way I act. That's the way I do it. No, no, you don't have to be defeated that, because Christ died on the cross for you. So you've been set free from that. It might be harder to make the decision every time to go after the Spirit, but you can make that decision. Christ didn't die for nothing. He died for you. So you, therefore, you can choose with the power of the Spirit to grow in the fruit of the Spirit, which is the things we talked about, joy, peace, forbearance. You grow by crucifying the flesh, by saying no to the flesh and yes to the things of the Spirit. You are free and empowered to choose. That should be the good news today. You're not locked. So whatever you're facing today, you're not locked. It's defeated. So what does that mean in real life? It says this. There was a whole bunch of things that it said that in Galatians chapter 5, it said the acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage. This is not an endless list, people. This is not like them saying, I think we've got the last of it. Let's write. No, no. This is just a good example of things of the flesh. So when we come to this question, how does this actually play out in life and in our community? It says, will I covet and seek sexual encounters outside of marriage, or will I treat older women as mothers and younger women as sisters, older men as fathers and younger men with like brothers with absolute purity? 1 Timothy 5:2 says that. And so we have a choice. Will I try to seek sexual gratification, debauchery, and other stuff? And just be about me and what I can get? Or will I submit to the things of the Spirit and what the Word of God is saying to me, that I'm going to treat people with respect? Older women like mothers, younger women like sisters, older men like fathers, younger men like brothers. Am I going to respond in that way? That is up to us. With the power of the Spirit, submitting my feelings and desires under God is possible. So no one's saying it's like you don't have feelings like that. But am I going to feed those feelings? Am I going to feed them up, or am I going to feed the Spirit and believe what the Word says and start to put things in light place that happen in that way? Submitting my feelings and desires under God. The less I submit, the harder it becomes. The less I submit to God and the more I submit to the flesh, the harder that becomes. So you go down a pathway. I've scribbled a word out there. And I can't remember. Do I say seek or how? Let me read it both ways. Will I follow offense or jealousy of others' success or favor to fester? Will I allow offense or jealousy of others' success or favor to fester between me and others? Or will I choose to see them as a brother or sister and seek restoration and forgiveness as Christ has shown me? You know, in a community, we can be offended quite easily. We can offend others quite easily. That's going to happen. So when I'm offended by someone else in a community, am I going to let that fester, or am I going to go and approach them in love and say, this is what I'm feeling because of what you did? When we see someone else seemingly getting blessed by God, seemingly things going well in their life and things aren't going well in my life, am I going to be jealous about that and pull them down? Or am I going to be, as the body rejoices when one person's going well, we rejoice together and we celebrate that success together? These are the choices that we get to make in community all the time. Or will I let it fester and try and pull them down, speak badly of them, create a holy huddle that will actually pull that person into space? They're the questions that we get to choose every day. How does God treat us? He treats us all equally. He treats us all like children of God. Children who work together, do life together, no matter if one has this position and one has that position. Your position or what God is doing in your life or what success he's given your life isn't the way that God sees you in terms of your excellence in him. No, your excellence in him is the fact you're all created in the image of God, that you're children of God. So it doesn't matter what your position is, what your title is, He sees you equally as people of God, his children. Will I let selfish ambition and desire be seen above, determine who I connect with or how I treat people? Or will I choose to treat all equally as Christ does, treating people with honor, and maybe some humor, and respect, no matter what they can do for me? You know, the scriptures tell the story about a rich man that came in and the people making a special place of honor for that rich person, but leaving the poor person at the back because the poor person couldn't do anything for them. You know, we can do that in community too. Are we treating people for what they can give us and what they can do for us and how they can solidify my position? Or am I treating people all equally because they are children of God and I'm respecting and showing honor to all people, no matter whether they come from poor or from rich, whether they're the same as me or they're different from me, but am I treating them like a child of God? These are the types of things that we face in community all the time. I want to come back to the start. What I see is something beautiful in this community is I see people loving each other and setting a foundation for a community that's going to be reaching out to a wider community that looks quite different often to what the world looks like. That is such a special thing and such a privilege. So who you empower, you can connect to. Community living, what does that look like for us here? Well, chapter 6 went on to say this. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you'll fulfill the law of God. So what does it look like to live out some of this in a community? The positive stuff's easy, but what does it look like when we live out the hard stuff? We look out for each other and for each other's burdens. We call each other out when it's needed. So when someone's down, we work together to help each other up. When someone's got a burden, we carry that together. When someone's sick, we pray for them. When someone needs food, we give them food. But when something goes awry, then we confront with truth and honesty and we speak in love to that person. We call each other out with grace and with truth. That is also part of living by the Spirit in community. So what does truth look like? Well, truth is we speak the truth in love. So we don't speak the truth to bring destruction and more harm. We speak the truth in love because this is a child of God. But we still speak the truth. We speak the truth in the context of relationship. So we don't look around at a community thinking, okay, who's doing something wrong? I'm going to pick that person off. No, it's in the context of relationship that we are brothers and sisters, arm around each other, walking together. But hey, there's some stuff I need to talk to you about that's not going right. It's the context of relationship. Relationship means that I know that that person loves me whichever way this conversation goes. Even if they're bringing something that's hard to hear, I know that they still love me. And we speak We speak the truth with authenticity. Authenticity means that we are genuine about it. We're genuine about walking with somebody through those dramas. So we speak the truth in love. We speak it in the context of a relationship and we speak with authenticity. Now, grace is the other side of that. And grace is not getting what you deserve. We know that. Understand. We understand the grace of God given on us. We don't get what we deserve. We deserved punishment as people of God, as people who are against God, but God gives us something quite different. He gives us life. And so we come as a community. How do we do this living out the Spirit in community? We speak the truth and with truth and grace to each other. So there's a balance with that. Too much truth with no grace is harsh, but grace without truth is nothing. There's no change. So as a community, we walk together and we speak the truth with grace and we get honesty and we walk within the grace of God in that. Sometimes that has consequences. So truth and grace. We don't just walk in truth, which can be harsh. We don't just walk in grace, which can bring no change sometimes. Grace without truth, you don't really know what you're getting grace from, huh? Truth and grace. And so as we finish up today, this walking in the Spirit, this walking in the Spirit in community is the two things. It's the helping each other. It's all the nice stuff that we see. And that is wonderful, but it's also being honest and authentic with each other as well. And choosing to trust that each other are walking in the space of God. That's what community is about. And as we continue to do that at community, at Encounter Church, at Central, as we continue to do that as an Encounter Church at Northreach, we continue to do that in our spaces together, we grow patterns of that in our life and it starts to be a witness to those who are in the wider community about why do you guys live life the way you do? Well, it's nothing to do with me. It's Christ in me. It's the Spirit of God in me and making choices to follow the Spirit and allow the Spirit to speak. I listen to the Spirit and I live out the Spirit. And I do that in the context of community. It's one thing to follow God's stuff by yourself. That's easy. But to follow the things of God in the context of community, that's powerful. That's powerful. That's what changes lives. And so I want to encourage you today, keep walking in the Spirit. I see so many beautiful things happening at North Reach. I get the privilege of speaking with Troy on Monday mornings, and he shares with me some of the things that he can share with me about the good things that are happening in this space. And I'm just so encouraged. I'm always encouraged about what's happening through the Spirit in at North Reach, and the stories of people talking to each other and apologizing to each other. I've heard some of those. I've heard some of the stories of people ringing each other up and saying, "Are you okay?" Texting people, sharing food with each other, praying like we did this month. It's something that is palpably powerful. And it's a good thing. I know you guys experience that because you're still here. It's a good thing. Keep walking in the Spirit. Keep allowing God to speak through you. Let me pray for you today. Heavenly Father, God, I want to thank you for your Spirit. I want to thank you for the life that comes through your Spirit. But also, Lord, I want to thank you that the Spirit speaking to us and being in us isn't just a solo pursuit, Lord, but it changes the way that we see each other. It changes the way that we do life together. It changes the way that we seek the best for each other. And it's because that you see us differently. You seek the best for us. It's you are committed to us, and therefore we live that out in the community of our brothers and sisters in Christ here. God, I thank you for the brothers and sisters in Christ in this very space right now. I thank you, Lord, for bringing us together. Lord, I pray, Lord, that as we journey together through the highs of life and through the lows of life, Lord, that we would be a community that listen to your Spirit, but not just listen, but live out then from that Spirit, Father, that we actually put legs and arms on what the Spirit is calling us to do. Father, I pray, Lord, that as people in this room continue to live out the things of the Spirit in everyday life, that it would become like habits that they just do naturally. Why do I live this way? Because the Lord told me so. How do I know that? Because the Bible told me so. The Spirit spoke to my heart about how to treat that person. Father, I pray in this place today that it would be a beacon of hope of how life can look for those who don't know you yet. I pray for the people who watch the lives of these people, Father. They wouldn't see perfect lives, but they would see Spirit-filled lives. They wouldn't see people who are veneering up what life is like, but actually they'd be living in the trenches of life, but living in the power of the Spirit. And so, God, I pray that right now, and I prophesy that over the people in this congregation right now, that that would be a powerful witness and impact to the wider community of Tapping and Bankshire Grove and all the surrounding suburbs, Lord, that it would be a witness to those who come into contact with the people in this space today, that your name would be lifted up, that your name would be glorified for your name's sake, in your precious name.